producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, welcome to my weekend. Sure glad you're joining us on the Common Sense Show today as we get through these winter months, and hope you're doing okay wherever you happen to live. You know, with the Super Bowl coming up, and we're going to talk about the Super Bowl later on the show, there is continuing concern about safety, about what happens if you go to events like that. But there's also been, I've seen a number of articles about your personal safety. How do you protect yourself? The whole gun debate comes up about whether or not you should be allowed to carry a pistol in public. We're broadcasting from down in Louisiana, where guns are often used for your protection, particularly if you live in a rural area. But that's not my debate today. I'm just trying to get some ideas of what options you have as you try to protect you and your family, and you live in a dangerous world, a different world than when most of us grew up. Got a guest I want to start with right now to join us here. Chris Seidog is a former Navy SEAL. He has trained snipers, and he has trained people of all levels in terms of skills to deal with their own personal safety. And I want to talk to him a little bit about this very thing and kind of get a little perspective on it. Hey there, Chris. Glad you joined us on the Common Sense Show today. Hey, Chris, you there?
Yep.
Okay, got you there. Yep. Now you've written a book called Navy SEAL Shooting. Is that more for a professional shooter, or would it affect the average person out there, Chris, in terms of just their own self-protection?
You know, it's honestly, it's a book that every level of shooter will benefit from reading. If you've never shot a gun before, or, you know, I've had people who have read it that have been shooting for over 30 years and say it's completely changed the way they go about shooting.
Well, good. And you can find that book, by the way, on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Hey, you're talking to a sniper, Chris. Before you were born, back in the 60s, when I enlisted in the Army, I qualified through a sniper program. I wish I was that sharp today. I'm 75 today, but I still got a pretty good eye. I still got a pretty good eye out there, but I'm sure you could give me some good tips. Tell us about this day and age. We're living in a whole different time and in which we live. And I think in your book, one of the things you mentioned was the four P's of surviving a violent encounter. And you never know when you're going to be involved in something like that. Give me a little overview of what your four P's are, Chris.
Well, the four P's are to plan, prepare, to pick, and then practice. So what I mean by that is you need to have a plan of what you're going to do. And what I mean by a plan is, like, what are your tactics going to be? Because so many people right now are going to the third P, and they're picking their equipment without even, you know, kind of knowing whether a firearm is the right choice for them. Because, you know, I'm a big supporter of firearms. You know, obviously I've done it my whole life. But for some people in some situations, you know, a firearm is not the right choice. So you need to plan out what's going to be best for you, what's best for your family, or maybe where you're living. And then you need to start to prepare, and that's mentally and physically, to be able to deal, you know, with a dangerous encounter. And then you finally pick whatever equipment you might need, and then you need to practice with that.
You know, if you just stay with plan and prepare, Chris, you know, you've got people living in cities that say, well, that doesn't really affect me. You know, I can't even carry a gun in this city. But I think you would agree there's some things you can do. You know, I tell people almost self-consciously when you walk into a public location, say you're sitting down in a restaurant with your family, I never want to have my back to the door. I always want to have my eyesight to the door. And, you know, almost self-consciously, I kind of case the restaurant. in a matter of seconds to see where another exit is. I mean, just some common sense things like that would go into your preparation schedule, wouldn't it, Chris?
Most definitely. You know, we call that situational awareness. And really, it's a lot different, you know, even when I grew up, you know, that we're just a lot more aware back then, because right now when everybody's got their mobile devices and they've got their heads down and they're pecking away at their mobile phones, but their head is not up and looking around, just general observation about what's happening around, where are those exits, you know, and then just taking it a little step further, it's very easy to sit down and go, okay, there's an exit behind us and there's a, you know, there's the front door in front of us. If somebody comes in the front door, hey, my plan is to, you know, get out of here and go out the back door. You know, maybe just quickly thinking, hey, I could grab that chair right there and throw it out this window and climb out the window if I needed to. But simply by running through those situations just very quickly, you know, you don't have to go overboard with it. But when something happens, that's going to be a little seed, you know, in your mind that you're going to be able to latch onto, and you're going to react, you know, to what's going on.
Yeah, it's almost self-conscious, without thinking, you kind of case the place. You do it automatically. It's the same way when you drive a car. I don't, I used to ride a motorcycle for years, and I just assumed that the other cars around me did not know where I was. I tell my kids I train the same thing, just to, you know, just take a quick glance, and you don't really think it through. It just kind of happens just in the spur of the moment, and you can do that too. Let me ask you this about, you know, Navy SEALs have come into the limelight a lot more. It used to be the Rangers and the Green Beret, and up, it seems like about 15, 20 years ago, you heard more and more about Navy SEALs. And now, when it came to taking out Osama bin Laden or in so many high-profile matters, Navy SEALs are right at the, in the forefront of all these activities. Here's my question. I got listeners out there. I got some young fellows who are 17, 18, graduating from high school, maybe graduate from college, say, I want to be a Navy SEAL. How do you become a Navy SEAL? How do you qualify? What do you have to do?
Well, you know, I was lucky enough to go back after I went through training myself and went back to being an instructor. And there's something everybody needs to know, and it's real easy. Navy SEALs are not made. They show up at training. And all we're doing is finding the ones that show up there. Because, you know, there's so many people out there that go, oh, I want to be a Navy SEAL. Yeah, I think I can make it. Anybody who says they want to be a Navy SEAL and they think they can make it, they will not make it. I guarantee it. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of cases. You know, Navy SEALs show up and you're going to make it through. Like when I went through training, I knew I was either going to make it through or I was going to die. You know, there was no question in my mind, and that's what it takes to make it through training. You know, if you show up there, you have physically, you know, enough stamina, you know, to make it through there. So, you know, it's you just have to be confident, and you have to have what it takes. And, you know, the skills that you learn as a SEAL, you know, yeah, you're going to learn those things. But the warrior that's inside of you, that's already in everybody who shows up to training.
Kind of different kind of warrior today, though, too, isn't it? In terms of the world we live in, with all of the mechanics of computers and all of the new sophisticated weapons that are out there. I mean, you could be the toughest warrior out there. If you got to be, I would imagine you've got to be a pretty bright guy to qualify for something like that, to be able to adapt to all these various situations that, you know, civilians like me, we see in the movies and we read about it, but there's a lot more than just being a tough guy, isn't there?
Well, yeah, a lot of people don't know the ASFAB requirement, the, you know, test you have to take to join the military. Your scores have to be just as high as doing the, you know, being a submariner on a nuclear sub. So there's no other job that your intelligence needs to be at that level. Because, you know, we're not just out there pulling triggers and blowing stuff up. You have to be constantly thinking, and your mind is active all the time.
I can see that challenge out there. Here, a little bumper music. You're telling me it's time for us to take a break here, Chris. You can hang on. I want to come back. I've got some more questions for you. My guest here with me right now is Chris Synog, who's a Navy SEAL, written a great book you can find on our website at jimbrownusa.com. Be right back.
Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at gcnlive.com.
Are you a homeowner? Is your basement or crawl space damp and musty? Is your indoor air stagnant and stale? So listen up. This is the occasion contractor, Michael King. I've been telling you for a while now, hey, I got the solution. That's right, Easy Breathe Ventilation. Easy Breathe dramatically improves your indoor air by replacing contaminated air with fresh air. Easy Breathe also removes damaging moisture from your home, basement, or crawl space, reducing the chance for toxic mold to grow. Easy Breathe is the affordable way to protect your home and your health. You see, the best part, it only costs us pennies a day to operate. Unlike a costly dehumidifier, maintenance-free, and a 10-year warranty. A 10-year warranty? This is a no-brainer. Start protecting your home and your health right now. Call the professionals at Easy Breathe, easybreathe.com, 1-866-822-7328. That's 866-822-7328. Easybreathe.com. Let Easy Breathe exhale so you can inhale.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks, all on the nation's best 4G LTE network? Introducing Pix Wireless. Bring your phone and other qualifying devices to Pix and choose a plan starting at only $14 a month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-267-2056 or PixWireless.com, spelled P-I-X, wireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
talking about protecting yourself, and we're talking with someone that probably knows this better than anybody, a former Navy SEAL. My guest here on the show today is Chris Seidnog. He's written a great book called Navy SEAL Shooting. You can find it on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Chris, let's bring it home to what's going on in terms of courses. There's such a massive increase in gun sales by so many people who are worried about their own situation. I don't sense that many people are taking the time to really do a solid gun course. I mean, you can get someone to show you how to shoot a gun. But if you're really going to understand, let's say you've got yourself a pistol, you've got a 9mm, even something smaller, and being able to clean that gun, how often do you clean the gun, how you load the gun, the importance of keeping it unloaded when you're not using it. There's a heck of a lot to using some type of a gun other than just firing the gun when you think you're in danger. Would you agree with that or not?
Jim, you hit the nail on the head, so to speak, there. You know, training needs to come first, not last. And unfortunately, it's not even coming last for most people out there. Most people think, you know, I want to protect myself. I need to, you know, go buy a gun. They go buy a gun, and maybe they put it under their bed, you know, and don't have any idea on how to use that thing. But I'll tell you, even if they do go to a range and, you know, learn how to manipulate the weapon there on a range, unfortunately, we've learned through years of, you know, these active shooters through, you know, trained law enforcement officers who have been in, you know, actual shooting situations. If you just train on a range like that, statistically, you're going to have about 75% of your rounds are going to miss the target. And that's because of, you know, just poor training. You need to train in a under stress, and you need to use other tools rather than just live fire range, you know, at a range shooting at a paper target. It's just not going to work.
Well, then is it a question of thought process? I mean, let's take, I know you've got your own training method. Give me a few suggestions you can find in your book and in your own training method, because I agree with you that, you know, you just kind of fire away and there's no honing in on the target, and the mental aspects are so important. So what's some of the training methods you would teach to someone who's well coordinated and is fairly intelligent about the safety requirements, but doesn't have a lot of basic knowledge? How do you begin? What do you tell them?
Well, I developed the new rules of marksmanship, which is the teaching philosophy that I use. And the seven fundamentals of these new rules of marksmanship are mindset, so training your mind, planning out your training, using physics or mechanics with everything you do, learning to focus, using dry fire or what I call dry weapons training, using deliberate practice, and getting constant feedback. So, you know, one of the biggest things there, the number one thing there, is training the mind. You know, and if you think about it, if you stop and think about it, you cannot shoot a gun without thinking about doing it. In fact, when you physically train to do any skill, what you're doing is building memories of how to do that. Well, you can build memories just by thinking about it. You can use things like meditation and visualization, which, you know, the elite athletes or the elite performers in any skill, any endeavor, use these techniques. And you need to do the same thing. You know, we kind of touched on it earlier when we talked about thinking about, hey, what would I do in this situation, you know, if you're out at a restaurant with your family? Well, you need to do that with all of your training. And if you do, it's really going to hyper-accelerate your training. And these are things that you can work through that you can't do at, you know, a live fire range, shooting at a paper target. You can think about these dynamic situations and build, you know, these memory banks of skills that you can use. You know, if you're ever in one of these situations where you need to, you know, survive a violent encounter.
Yeah, you know, the repetition is so important, and that's true in anything. I mean, it was Malcolm Gladwell wrote a New York Times bestseller called Outliers that talked about in anything, no matter how good you are, it's that repetition. You can teach a kid to drive a car perfectly, but until they get into a dangerous situation, they're just not going to know. Repetition. And the same thing on a range. You know, you can go out on a range, but unless you've got the right instructions, the right rules, and you do that repeatedly to get those lessons in your mind, you're just not going to you're not going to be safe for yourself and for those around you. That makes good sense. You got a website, Chris, up or not? You have your own website?
I got several of them. The easiest one for your listeners to remember is probably going to be Navy SEAL Shooting, and that's on my book. But I also have chrissajnog.com. That's S-A-J-N-O-G, where I actually have an online training course that I run there.
Well, I was going to say, you can find out all about that on that website. And I'll list both those websites on my website at jimbrownusa.com. A lot easier to remember along those lines. So, well, Chris, you got some great ideas out there. Now, I guess here the question is, at what age do you teach a child? An adolescent is not nearly as responsible. I took my son out to shoot his first duck at, I think, 10. First shot with a 410 knocked it out of the air. I was dumbfounded, but it took a lot of pre-effort and explanation and training to even let him do that. And then the follow-up took place, so I spent a great deal of time with him. But at what age do you train kids to be able to use what we call a weapon, what in the country where I live, we just call a gun. But how early do you start kids with this basic training, do you think?
You know, I think as soon as they can understand the words coming out of your mouth, that is the time you need to do it. Because if you look at the statistics of how many children are killed by a weapon that's not properly secured, their parents are over at, you know, a friend's house, something like that, it is tragic. So, you know, not even just teaching them how to use a weapon, but just general weapon safety, understanding that, you know, weapons kill people. If you pull a trigger and point it at something, that something is, you know, it's not going to be like a cartoon. It's not going to be like these video games that they play. You know, that person is going to die. So, you know, I taught my kids as soon as I could, as soon as they could understand, if you see a gun, you run. You know, and that was easy for them to understand. You know, I've since gone on to teach them, you know, about weapons safety and weapons handling. But, you know, just to know if you have kids and they're at a friend's house, hey, if your friend pulls out a gun, you yell gun and you run as fast as you can to find an adult. You know, you don't look at it. You don't talk to them about it. You run away. And I think that's really important. It's almost just as tragic when I hear people say that we shouldn't be teaching kids you know, about firearm safety. You know, we teach them about fire safety. We teach them, you know, about health. And, you know, there's things, my wife's a school teacher. They teach things that I do not want schools teaching them. But definitely being safe around firearms is very important.
No doubt about it. Hey, Chris, we're out of time. Thanks so much. Go to my website at jimbrownusa.com to read about Chris, his book, Navy SEAL Shooting. Glad to have you on the show, Chris, and I hope you'll come on back again. Take care and have a nice weekend.
All right. Thanks, Jim. You too.
Good lesson, just basic safety. Take a pause right now and come on back and make some more.
Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad. But boy, was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, this presidential election gets crazier and crazier. We're getting in, tomorrow night we've got the Iowa, caucuses. Now, and kind of interesting what happens at these caucuses. At a caucus, they probably have 1,000 locations, is what I'm told. They're in schools, they're in small general stores, they're in the back of restaurants, they're in churches. And people in that area, kind of like when you and I go to vote, have to come out in the evening. It takes a little time, as I'm told. I've never been up to Iowa and seen a caucus, but for both Republicans and the Democrats, I think the Republicans actually vote on machines. It's not quite as involved. The Democrats get together maybe at 7 o'clock in the evening, and they'll have a discussion. Everybody can stand up and talk and express their views, and then they vote. vote. And one by one, you come up and put your ballot in the ballot box, and they do this all over the state to see who the winners are, which we will hear about ad infinitum on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week once the caucus is over. And so, but it's gotten kind of crazy. Bernie Sanders, this senator, socialist senator from the East Coast, from New Hampshire, rather from Vermont, is right there neck and neck with Hillary Clinton. And then in the Republican race, you've got Donald Trump that continues to make phenomenal growth. It was interesting. I remember 6 months ago, all the prognosticators, all these political observers were saying, well, Trump is kind of an anomaly. He's a personality, well-known, kind of an enigma. He's going to go for a month, and then his stock will drop. Then after it was 2 months, say, well, he's gone 2 months, but hang in there. Old Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and Kasich, the governor from Ohio, they're all going to make some inroads, and then we'll see Donald Trump drop. But then it was 3 months. Now it's been 6 months, and every time they say he's going to drop, his lead actually increases. He's going up with his totals. They don't go down. They go up. And I'll tell you what. If he wins in Iowa tomorrow night, which we'll see late tomorrow night, early Tuesday morning, it's going to be hard to keep Donald Trump from getting the nomination, quite frankly, because he's going to wear much better well on the East Coast and down in South Carolina and some of these other primaries. So it looks like he and Ted Cruz right now, neither one are acceptable to the Republican establishment. They want someone more like Bush or Rubio, some kind of insider. Cruz is despised by his fellow senators. They don't give him the time of day, and they all say, well, he doesn't fit in. We don't want him, and I think his response was pretty clever. Well, that was kind of the idea, I thought, that I didn't fit in, that I had to shake things up that are going on in Washington, D.C. right now. Now, here's the interesting question. What happens if Sanders kind of hangs in there, then Clinton comes back and wins, and the same thing in the Republican Party? You've got Donald Trump, and you've got Ted Cruz, and maybe one of the others kind of emerge. And this thing stays very fluid and open. Is there room for a third-party candidate? There's been a lot of talk about that. And the name that has been thrown out this past week is the former mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg. Interesting guy. I thought he was one of the finest mayors of New York City. We broadcast a lot out of New York City. I thought he was one of the finest mayors New York had. He's a three-term mayor up that way. He had considered running for president back in 2008 as an independent and also 2012. But he concluded he couldn't win, and therefore he just didn't go ahead and make the run. But this is not the normal time. I mean, you know, the U.S. political system may be tilted more for third-party candidates, where it was against it in the past. You got to go back to Abraham Lincoln, quite frankly, in 1860. He was the nominee of the anti-slavery Republicans. They were really a third-party candidate at the time, third-party at the time. And so, in any event, it's tough. We saw Ross Perot make a fairly legitimate bid when he ran against George H.W. Bush when Bill Clinton was first elected. And many think that Perot's candidacy was the coup de grace in beating Bush, who was running for re-election, letting Clinton win the election. You see, I think Perot got 19% of the vote, and Clinton only won the election with 43% of the vote. So we've been skeptical of third-party candidates and Bloomberg candidacy, particularly in the past. But again, this is a whole different set of rules. We throw the conventional wisdom out the window, quite frankly. Bloomberg is looking at the primary chaos, and I guess he's figuring he may have a chance if the parties nominate flawed or polarizing candidates who struggle to unite their parties. The guy's 73 years old, but he just may see an opening. And, you know, he's very wealthy. I think I saw something where he was worth $33 billion, and he says he would spend upwards of $1 billion of his own money if he decided to run for president. So, any event, he is to the left in some issues of these candidates, to the right of the others. He's a little bit more liberal when it comes to climate change and immigration. But he's pretty much a hawk when it comes to foreign policy and on economics. I think the I think the business community are very comfortable with him. And so it's hard to put him on the left or the right, quite frankly. You know, he was given great accolades for the way he reduced crime in New York City. He cleaned up New York City, carried on the job that Rudy Giuliani began, but did a really good job. He also was big on school choice. We've talked about in that show a lot. I'm a big school choice guy. I think you ought to pick whatever school you want to and send your kid there. And accountability. He fought the teachers' unions. Most things that would be considered Republican attributes. So, any event, he's now. Some people think, well, he's kind of pushes the nanny state. Remember, he was trying to ban big soda pop. You couldn't get a drink that was 36 ounces or something. You wanted to keep it low to discourage people from drinking so much soda. So, I guess that's part of the nanny state. But he did not was not successful there. But if the Republicans nominate Donald Trump, he's certainly no conservative. Trump is no conservative. I'll tell you, if Trump gets the Republican nomination and Bloomberg wins, you're going to see a large number of Republicans go over to Bloomberg and say, hey, kept New York City safe, wants to keep the world safe, spending his own money to run, and when he self-finances his campaign. This could happen also, you see. You could get into this election cycle where no one gets the 270 electoral votes to win. Now, if you don't get the number of votes it takes to win, the whole election is thrown into the House of Representatives. They are a strong majority Republican. So conventional wisdom says, well, then if Trump is the nominee, they would go with Trump. But not particularly, you see, because Trump has alienated so many people in his party. I think there'd be great pressure to throw their votes to Bloomberg. So it's going to be very interesting, quite frankly, to see how all this develops here in the weeks and months to come. Bloomberg, I believe, has given himself a March 1st deadline. You've got to do a lot of pre-work if you're going to get on the ballot in all 50 states. It's a pretty big effort. You've got to file petitions, and in some instances, you've got to have 5,000 or 10,000 people sign a petition to actually get you qualified. But he's got the resources and the wherewithal, and he's looked at this before. So it's not like he's the new kid on the block just starting from scratch. I think he can attract the people who know how to get him on the ballot, if you will. And so Bloomberg is not going to just jump in over his head. He's going to take his time and lay out a specific game plan and try to put together a program where he'll get the nominee, where he'll get the nod. And, you know, if he starts off up there with that kind of money and that kind of reputation, he's going to start off with 15, 16, 17% in the polls. Trump would be much higher if he had the nomination, or Cruz. Hillary Clinton would be much higher. That gets him in the debates, you see. And then you see him debating these folks in many debates, and that could really make a huge difference. So the Bloomberg candidacy can work in a number of ways. Like I say, if nothing else, it may throw the whole election in the House of Representatives, and I just share that with you. We're going to come back. We've got some good guests here on the show today to talk about the importance of touch. I want to talk about the who's the favorite in the Super Bowl coming up next week, and just a number of other issues. So freshen up your coffee. Go to my website, check it out at www.jimbrownusa.com, and we'll take a little pause and come on back and make some more Common Sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
This is Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. That's why Macy's is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Chronic inflammation is now known to block your ability to repair and compromises your immune system, making you more vulnerable to all diseases. Since poor diet, injuries, or stress are all contributing factors, many people suffer from inflammation. Your body's number one means of neutralizing inflammation and the pain that it may be causing is glutathione. Glutathione is the body's number one peptide to neutralize free radicals and thus stop inflammation.
Hi, my name is Jason. I'm 44 years old. For 10 years, I had been suffering from chronic pain in my abdomen and groin that radiated down into my feet. After 3 weeks on One World Way, the pain in my feet reduced by 50% and the overall pain in my body reduced significantly as well. I ran out of One World Way and the pain returned. I got another container, and again, after 3 weeks, the pain reduced significantly throughout my body. I'd highly recommend One World Way to anyone dealing with chronic pain due to inflammation.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat. But you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Are your Google search results killing you?
Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
There was a New York Times bestseller sometime back called The Compass of Pleasure. It was written by Dr. David Linden, and he comes back with a new book. He's a professor of neuroscience at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, and he's got an interesting new book out called Touch. It's simply called Touch, and he talks about what we can learn from our sense of touch, the emotional responses, interaction with our health, with other people. Kind of an interesting idea. Kind of whetted my appetite to see just why touch is unique to other senses in the body. Wanted to talk to him a little about it. We've got Dr. Linden on the phone right now. Hey, Doc, glad you joined us on the Common Sense Show.
Thanks for having me on.
Tell us, if you will, I want to get into the book. And by the way, the book, you can find it on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Why do you point out that the sense of touch is so different from the other senses and in some ways actually more important than the other senses we have in our body? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, if you look at a baby growing up, its
perfectly fine. You can grow up blind from birth, and you can have a healthy body and a healthy mind, and you can be deaf from birth and have a healthy body and a healthy mind and have a good, fulfilling life. But if a baby is born and doesn't receive loving social touch within the first year of his life, as has occurred, for example, in Romanian orphanages that were grossly understaffed during Ceausescu's regime, then a disaster unfolds, and that child will have health problems, attachment problems, cognition, and mental and emotional problems that will be lifelong. Touch, unlike the other senses, isn't optional for human development.
That's interesting. So, and does that, I kind of would think that carries through life. It strikes me that when I see some families who don't hug each other or slap each other in the back and have a physical relationship, they bump each other. The guys, I bump my sons and I always give them a big hug whenever I see them, all my kids. But you see families that don't do that, and it just seems like there's a little bit more distance. There's a little, they just don't sense the warmth in families like that. Is that a fair assessment or not?
Well, I think it is a fair assessment. We have to remember that these things are different in different cultures. So the way people touch in the United States is different than the way they touch in Italy, which is different than the way they touch in Japan. But you're absolutely right that both in families as well as in workplace or on sports teams, appropriate social touching is a way to form bonds. It tells people, I'm an ally. You can trust me. And there was a great study that was done on teams in the NBA where people sat down and looked at all the celebratory footage after making baskets, all the fist bumps and chest bumps and high fives and things that people do to celebrate a basket. And they found that the teams that had the most touch celebration also won the most and also had players that would not hog the ball and play with the most team spirit.
Isn't that interesting? I never, I've carried it into individuals, but I never looked at it as a team. And you see, and even in the football teams, somebody scores a touchdown, his teammates high five him and chest bump him and head bump him. And there's a real emotional connection, it seems like, that spills out beyond just saying, hey, way to go, the quarterback, in the case of yesterday, rather last weekend when you saw Eli Manning and Tom Brady, when the teams did something good, they ran out there and congratulated the end that caught their pass. So you see that in a number of sports, I guess, don't you?
You do. You see it in sports. You see it in the workplace. You see it in families. Touch is social glue. It bonds sexual partners into romantic couples. It bonds people in the workplace. It bonds families together and coworkers and teammates together. It's good for what ails you.
Now you take that into metaphors of touch, don't you? Like you hurt my feelings, or oh, she just rubs me the wrong way. I mean, that's a way of describing emotional states or impressions of others, isn't it?
It is. And I think what it shows, and these things are so deeply ingrained in our language that we take them for granted and don't even think about them, that the sense of touch is inherently emotional. When we say it's a sticky situation, or you're offending me with that coarse language, even the word feelings, I mean, why are feelings, I mean, our tender emotions, called feelings and not sightings or smellings? It's because touch as a sense is intrinsically emotional in a way that the other senses are not.
Now, that's fascinating. Now what prompted you to write a book like this? Why would you want to take on this whole subject of studying the emotional outlets you find with touch? What sparked your interest, Doc?
Well, there's two reasons. One of them is that I'm always looking for things that are central to our lives, central to what make us human, where I can tell the story of the science behind it in a way that's compelling. And touch was a topic that I think everyone is kind of interested in, whether it's pain or itch or sexual touch or or just the way we use our hands in our work and play. And so it was a good story to be told. But the other reason is that I'm fortunate enough to work at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, and my buddies here turn out to be some of the most prominent touch researchers in the world. So basically, I don't work on touch in my own laboratory. I became a fanboy of touch from chatting with my colleagues.
I don't know how you generalize about this, but, you know, we're broadcasting from the Deep South. I live in the deepest of the deep southern states in Louisiana. And, you know, southerners are kind of touchy-feely, you know, and very affectionate in so much of what they do. Is that, can you generalize like that? Is there a little more coldness in some of the big cities on the East Coast, or is that too hard to generalize along those lines?
Well, you know, there have been actual studies done about this, not so much with different parts of the United States, but with different countries. So, for example, there was an anthropologist who liked to spy on people in cafes, couples, not just romantic couples, but, you know, friends or coworkers. And he went to several places, and he saw that in San Juan, Puerto Rico, people would touch each other casually about 200 times an hour. And if you went to Paris, it was about 30 times an hour. And if you went to New York City, it was about 10 times an hour. And if you went to London, it was 0 times an hour. So I think you're right that there are differences in different places. And I'm sure if you did that study in different parts of the United States, you'd find some differences there, too, and probably even in the same location, because we have so many different cultural groups in different places in the United States that you would find differences there as well.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And maybe you can say, I don't know, I wonder if the weather has anything to do about it. You know, when you're layered up and everything like that, maybe you're not quite as inclined to touch someone or squeeze them or something like that. I don't know. I'm just generalizing with you. But, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. It is an interesting point that if you look, it's not a perfect map, but the closer you get to the equator in general, the more touching you find. So, you know, maybe you're onto something there.
A new book, another book for you. Where's all this touchy-feely stuff concentrated in terms of breaking it all out? So it's a fascinating subject. And now, do I understand right? Did I see in your book that women have a more refined sense of touch than men do?
Right. Well, particularly if you look on the fingertips. So it turns out that if you take 1,000 women in the lab and 1,000 men in the lab, and you have them feel tiny little grids with their fingertips and ask which direction they're going, which is a good way of seeing what's the threshold for the very finest little tactile form you can feel on your fingertip, which is an area that's well endowed with these fine touch sensors, you find that on average, women do better than men. And you might think, well, why is that? Maybe it's because women's skin is a little softer, so it's a little more easily indented, so they can feel these small things better. No, that's not it. Is it because there's something different in the parts of the brain that process touch information? So far, it doesn't seem to be it. The answer seems to be that you have a fixed number of fine touch sensors on your fingertips. So if you got little fingertips, and on average, women's fingertips are smaller than men's, then those touch sensors are closer together. And so it's like having your pixels close together on the display of your laptop screen. It gives a more refined image. So women
right.
With
Doc, can you hold right there? Hold that thought. I've got to take a little pause. Talk to David J. Linden. Dr. Linden, he's a new book, Touch, The Science of Hand, Heart, and Mind. Great book. Find it on my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. We're going to take a quick little pause to pay some bills and get the news. We'll come back and make some more common sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
This is the old Cajun contractor Michael King here, host of Home Talk USA. Did you know that you can now shop and purchase online quality name brand tools and accessories at discounted prices from one of the top most visited online hardware stores, The Handy City? That's right. You can now take the hassle of having to go out and purchase these products. Just think, you can now order all of the top name brands from the comfort of your home computer and have it delivered straight to you in most cases. And the shipping is free. All the products are personally endorsed by me and guaranteed 100% by the manufacturer by using our online store. You'll be also helping to keep our popular home improvement radio show on the air. So please check out our website today at TheHandyCity.com. That's TheHandyCity.com. I'll say it again, TheHandyCity.com. Quality products at discount prices straight to you. I have only one thing I can say. Ça c'est le bon temps roulet. Let the good times roll. Yai!
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.